All right, so we are ready. We're here with the county attorney. Welcome, County Attorney Reynolds. And we'll go through this as we've gone through in the past. And to start with, I don't know if you'd like to say anything before we get started.
No, just good afternoon to the board.
Okay, so we'll start with revenues. There's only one question I had on revenues, and that is, you really think we're going to get the 325 in court order recoveries this year?
I do. I noticed that last year at this time we were at $124,000 in that line item. And as everyone knows, the law changed July 1st. So we get 20% of what we recover versus the 40%, but we can recover 60 days earlier than in the past. And I feel confident that we can reach that without a problem.
Okay. How have the last couple months gone? So I see how the 6 months leading up to now has gone. Are we seeing it ramp up any?
Yeah.
I mean, I also know you had some changes in that office.
Correct. So we're down a staff member. We're interviewing for that right now. So I think that additional staff person will increase what we recover in that department. We've got four big garnishments that are going to be landing here in the next week or two. And I think that will really, you'll see that bump up dollar-wise from just those four. So.
Okay, and so the 325, we think we can get there this year. That's what you're suggesting we budget for next year. Are we kind of bumping up against our limit based on our staffing level?
That's likely. It's a great question. You know, as we all know, we've been dealing with various law changes every fiscal year in this area, so I'll be interested to see with the 28% once I get up to full staff what we're looking like. I think I'll be better able to answer that next year.
So I've suggested to this board that it's time to dust off and bring back the Justice Center safety renovation and office space conversation. But clearly this $390,000 that we have budgeted, the $325 plus the $65, is a key component to that conversation, and so we'd like to get it narrowed down and based in as much reality as we possibly can. So, as you get fully staffed, please keep us updated on how that's going.
Happy to.
Any other questions with revenues?
None.
Okay, to the expense side, again, we'll drop down what I refer to as below the line, which is employee insurances. Although, if we would like to touch on, and Jess, maybe this would be worth touching on, the fact that we instituted a new assistant county attorney pay matrix in the last year, and exactly what we're seeing from that and how that works for the way we compensate our assistant county attorneys.
Well, that has been just instrumental in changing the office environment in our office. I can't thank the board enough for the attorney pay matrix. Prior to that attorney pay matrix, what would happen is we'd lose an attorney, and then those dollars would be available, and what we saw were attorneys fighting over those dollars as far as, well, hire someone in new, and then you have these dollars left, and it caused a lot of contention, a lot of competition between attorneys, and it was really counterproductive to a team environment. It was also inconsistent in that you didn't know when people were going to leave and stay, and so attorneys didn't feel like they could really plan for a long-term career in our office. They were looking to get trial experience and move on to some place that had some sort of definite plan for their future wage-wise. The implementation of the attorney pay matrix has been one of the most positive changes that I've seen since I've been in the office. It's helped overall morale and retention. And so far in 2016, the only attorney we've lost in our office was Stephen Holmes, the county attorney who retired. He didn't leave for pay reasons.
Any questions on the employee side of things?
I do.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
The supplemental for the extra help, which I saw in the narrative, you know, were for interns.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. And I noticed you have four interns that do the victim witness support. And we used to have a paid staff person who did that, right?
Correct.
Okay. So
we have three paid staff people
three paid
that
staff
did
people.
Victim witness. Yes. And now we've replaced that with interns who assist an attorney who's devoted to victim witness.
Okay, got it. Because I was going to ask, what are the changes? No, right. You were headed where I was. What are the changes in services and the pros and cons of doing that? I think it's great in terms of getting the training, too, but I'm wondering consistency-wise, then, because interns are always moving out to try and find real jobs.
Absolutely. It's exactly the issue that I'm looking at right now with our victim witness program. The nice thing about our initial change was that we were able to professionalize that the person responsible for victim witness.
Okay.
And so now we have an attorney that's in charge of that, and the attorney in our office that's in charge of that is named Ben Matchin, and Ben oversees those interns. So we've been able to add an attorney who's able to go into court. So like if we have someone that's getting subpoenaed and we need to go quash the subpoena, we can go and appear in court on those things. But I am exploring that change. I've sent letters out to Access and our law enforcement community partners, and I'm asking for their input on that.
Mm-hmm.
And how's that going, and what things are we seeing? The only consistent person in that program is the attorney that's assigned to that. And so, yes, I agree. I think it's been nice for us cost-wise. I think it's been nice for us as far as having an attorney in that position, but I'm also interested in exploring how that's impacted everyone and if there's some things we should be doing to make it better.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the question.
Any other questions on the employee side of things?
Can I just make one comment about that pay matrix real quick?
Yep.
When it was implemented last year, and this is for the benefit of the two new supervisors, is that they implemented a pay matrix, but there were no steps the first year. The steps start the second year. So the way that the figures were given to Lisa is I did calculate each attorney getting a step on their anniversary date in addition to a cost of living that's not approved yet. So there were some estimated figures. But I do want to let you know that the cost was a little bit higher. It's because the first year, because of the implementation cost, they did not move up a step on their anniversary date. The board did say that would start in FY18. So that was all in there.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And it's our intent that that entire matrix will shift with the cost.
Absolutely. If anybody wants to see, I do have how I budget it, how I gave the figures. If you're interested. That's typical of matrices.
And Jess, for you and Teresa, we're going to budget, ultimately we're going to budget salaries in a similar method to how we've done the last couple years. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like. Our commitment to you is 100% of actual costs for approved positions. You can count on that.
That sounds great. It makes sense that you wouldn't allocate more funds than we actually use in salary. Thank you.
Absolutely. So now we get to the expense side, and for me it was really simple. I'm going to try to boil it down to one thing, and then we can go back and talk about anything you want. It looks to me like you reduced a lot of areas in order to be able to increase education and training. Clearly, to me, it looks like a philosophical shift between you and the previous county attorney into what kind of value education and training has for your staff. Overall, just go and just for consistency, so we had the sheriff this morning, and I pointed out that the request was a 15.54% requested increase in operations. As he left here today, we had suggested somewhere more around 3.5% may be more appropriate. Your request from operations is actually down, so negative 3.76% from last year, but it does have that substantial increase in education and training. You just make up for it other places.
I lost Lisa the negative from. I see a positive.
Negative does not include employee costs, right? So that's the operational side of things, not the employee costs. Yep. And when that's exactly the apples for apples, that's what we talked about with the sheriff. That's how we get his budget from $9 million down to really $1.5 in operations. For comparison's sake, county attorney's total budget is what, $2.5 million, but her operational costs are more like 110,000. 107 is what she requested this year.
I had a question about education and training.
Please.
Okay. Where, I see there's an international conference on ending violence against women. Is that in the U.S., I'm assuming?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
All right.
It was in D.C. last year. They changed that around where it is.
It's in Barbados.
No, it's not.
I'm in the winter, at least.
Yeah, it's somewhere less exciting even than D.C. this year, like maybe St. Louis. I can tell you exactly where it's at.
It's okay, but I just want to kind of confirm. I mean, that seems reasonable, $2,500 per person to go to a multi-day. Not they just pack their own lunches in advance.
And I just want to make clear that I don't attend that. I send my two sexual assault prosecutors and my domestic violence prosecutor to that.
Sorry, that was the top of page
15.
So. Yep. Yeah, does anyone want me to talk about my philosophy on education? Do they want to have any questions about those trainings that I proposed?
Well, no, since do this. Yes, absolutely, I want to talk about that. But even broader than that, so this is, I know that you were instrumental in assisting Teresa and Stephen in previous budgets, but this is really the first budget where you've been the decision maker on what came forward. Talk to the board a little about your philosophy, how you tried to get where you are, and what's important to you in this?
Well, first of all, so we have 15 attorneys, and they all have to maintain their Iowa licensure. And so in order to do that, every one of our prosecutors needs to go to the Iowa County Attorneys Association, either spring or fall training. So those are your top two dollar amounts, and the total of that is $12,375. So my current budget allocation for training and education is $10,000. So that doesn't cover just the bare minimum licensure requirements for our attorneys. Those attorneys at the Iowa County Attorneys Association Conference get all the updates on Iowa law, and that's sponsored by the Attorney General's Office. So to me, that is absolutely necessary so we keep our licensure.
Sure.
Above and beyond that, I consider the 1, 2, 3, 4 trainings that I've listed below the Iowa County Attorneys Association training as absolutely necessary. And I think that is a difference from my predecessor. My philosophy is that our job as assistant county attorneys is to give the Board of Supervisors, all the department heads and elected officials, the most recent, up-to-date civil law there is, and to protect you civilly, and also to make sure that our prosecutors who are going in and trying cases, sexual assaults, which are up in Story County, domestic violence, crimes, murders, have the most recent training and up-to-date training and experience. There's a lot of evolving law involving, you know, evidentiary issues on how do you get Facebook posts into evidence, how do you get cell phone data dumps into evidence. Those are things that are constantly changing, and we need to be on the forefront of those issues. I don't want any attorney in my office going into court in serious cases or any cases and feeling like they have the education and the training, the up-to-date training that they need. So I see this as absolutely necessary. There are other trainings I'm very interested in. One is the National District Attorneys Association offers trainings. What we've done thus far is we've been able to receive grant funding for that. Sean Fletchell in our office is one of our drug prosecutors, and he just received 100% of grant funding to attend one of those trainings. So in my read of my request is that it's absolutely essential. I'm happy to talk about any of the requests and the attorneys that I'm sending and why I'm sending them there. And I understand it's an increase in our prior expenses. I know it's over 100% increase. That probably has people.
No, but I appreciate that you guys sharpened the pencil to find the dollars to do it within your budget. Because that's what it looks like to me happened here. It looked to me like you really tightened down in a bunch of different areas in order to be able to have a major increase for something that you deem, and I tend to agree, is important. Especially since we changed appear to be changing the philosophy when we hire a young attorney. It feels like to me, at least, we would hire a young attorney and we want to get 2 or 3 or 4 years out of them and then they move on. And so, of course, if you're going to do that, you don't place the same emphasis on training and development that you would place when when now I think we're trying to identify people that hopefully many of them are going to have a career of prosecution here in Story County, I think you deal with those things a little differently. So I think it goes hand in hand with the salary matrix that we put in.
Agreed. Thank you.
I think we've also followed suit of the board as well. The postage meter, you guys have helped us in saving money there. The copiers, we've saved a lot of money there based on what the board's done to help us with that. So
absolutely.
Just trickles down.
And on that same line, you and I talked, well, actually, Briggs talked about this briefly, but I think we can look at your communication line and do some more cutting.
Great. That'd be great.
You know, you're on track to spend, I want to reestimate at least 16, and then I think next year 16 is sufficient also.
Okay. Okay. That'd be great.
All right, so we're going from 19 to 16 for this year and 19 to 16 for next year. So that's another 3,000. So that blows the 3.76 decrease out of the water.
But then I also want to talk about court costs, juvenile court costs.
Okay.
Yeah. That we need to increase that because, you know, we've already spent time for you.
I can see why you're asking that. It's just really hard to predict.
Right.
And,
oh, totally.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that we can keep it at that. But whatever you, I mean, I'll defer to you on that, Lisa.
No, I don't know. I mean, it is what it is my concern. And, you know, you've been over 2 years out of the last four.
Yeah.
Well, and our average is more like 14,000.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems to me. So last year was just over 15,000. The year before that, we were down for whatever reason. But then our longer term average is right around 14,000. I would suggest that that's more like a $14,000 or $15,000 line item, realistically.
Right.
Sounds great. Whatever you guys think. Sure.
Okay.
We're doing that both for current year and next year.
Which is next year.
Do you think you're okay this year yet, or do you want to assume that it might be 14 this year?
You're 10-3.
Yeah.
Is there no, okay, so there isn't any reimbursement anymore for any of those student court costs? Way back when in my early days here, no comments on aging ordinance.
Already did it.
All right. We used to bill the state for some of the juvenile costs.
Mm-hmm. So we still bill the state for any applicable reimbursements that we can seek. So there are certain costs related to expert witnesses that we can get reimbursed. Juvenile's a little different. The county actually pays for more in juvenile cases than they do in adult cases. And so we pay for guardian ad litem expenses. We pay for deposition expenses for the child, as well as the child's attorney.
The time I know it was if the county attorney's office requested it, then it wasn't reimbursed. But if it was something the state said always has to happen for a juvenile, then it was reimbursed.
Well, now I don't know how the business has occurred over the years, but now it is whether the county attorney's office would request the transcript or the child's attorney would request the transcript, it's in the code that the county shall pay for that. And that includes deposition transcripts, trial transcripts for appeals. So there's a lot less in juvenile cases that we can seek, although we still do. If we have expert witnesses, we can still request reimbursement for that. And there's more that we can seek reimbursement for now in adult criminal cases, which includes our expert witness fees. And it's a percentage of our expert witness fees, actually, but we do seek 100% of everything that we can seek for that. We'll continue to do so.
Another thing that I've noticed, especially this year with juvenile cases, is it seems like a lot of the parents that we're having to serve are out of state. And when they're out of state, the cost goes up considerably for serving them.
We'll keep watching that. I'd like to get that item down. It just depends on how many people decide to not cooperate with DHS and commit child abuse. So we'll hope that goes down.
All right, so we will re-estimate 14. We'll plug it in as 14. Other questions?
Down, staying on that same page, 13, going down to attorney special projects. Mm-hmm. When I look at the narrative says a quarterly expense at $2,500 per quarter. So shouldn't it be 10,000 for a whole year? Instead of 5,000?
I mean, excellent question.
You're actually looking at line one for the special law enforcement.
Enforcement.
For forfeiture dollars.
Forfeiture dollars. There's three different funds involved here.
Okay.
But that special law enforcement is the one that you're asking about.
And you're exactly right. So, in theory, yes. So what we're seeing with our drug task force is we're seeing costs increase, and it's a big concern to our office to the point where for this fiscal year, since that was our last quarterly bill, we're actually seeing that our office may have to pay in more than we're receiving. So we're not okay with that. That's not going to be able to continue, and it's going to be an ongoing conversation that our office is going to have with the drug task force. I think there are some things that we're doing that could help change those dollars, and my plan is to keep it at 5,000 by implementing some of these changes. And some of those things have to do with the way that we do and don't charge uncontrolled buys and stuff like that. So I'm going to be working actively with the task force on that. I'm not going to allow that to exceed what we're able to bring in through that, and there's going to have to be some changes. But very good catch, you're right, but I'm not going to increase that.
Yeah, go.
Okay. This is off of the current year's budget, but I reviewed the claims this week, and there was a $1,400 bill for 8 plaques. And the way they're identified, it made it sound like they were door plaques, like, hi, this is my name. And so that caused a little discussion, among a couple people who'd seen them also. So are those really door plaques at $125 a piece?
They are. And what they are is they are on all of our attorney doors. They designate the attorney in their position. And that's something that's always happened in the county attorney's office. And I think it increases the professionalism of our office. We have officers in our office. We have crime victims. We have clients that come into our office. And what's happened is we usually wait a little bit to make sure an attorney is going to stay in the office because we've had a retention issue. And so we've kind of held off, and now we've upgraded all of our, attorneys that didn't have door plaques on their office. So, those were budget dollars that were in my budget already. And so I can understand if you disagree with that decision, but I think it's important. We're a law firm. We're a professional law firm for the county. I want a professional appearance, demeanor, and I think that's important. So, I completely understand. We usually don't buy them in bulk. It's usually we get a new attorney in and then we provide that on their door. But I wanted to wait because we're having a retention issue at some point, so I didn't want to buy those if people weren't going to stay.
Yeah, it's probably not what I would have spent. I'd have gone down the Cyclones and gotten something that looked nice. But anyway, you're right. They're your dollars, and you're the one who has to be accountable for them. Okay, thank you.
Yep, and I feel fully accountable for that. And as you'll notice, I've reduced that line item from $2,000 down to $500.
Right.
So.
Thank you.
Other questions? Annie?
I'm sitting here reflecting on the fact that in my short time on the board, the previous board was asked to appoint a county attorney. And part of the process leading up to that vote was meeting with Jessica on an individual basis and then listening to her presentation. And so this is one of the budgets I turned to first because part of her presentation, part of her solicitation on an individual basis is the fact that I can take the dollars that are allocated into this office and possibly reduce them. So I wanted to find out if, in fact, those words had any validity. They do. I like what I see. I feel validated in how I voted. And I...
Well, good, because there's no going back.
No going back. It was only 3 months ago, 3.5 months ago now, that you stood up here and asked for the job.
Yeah.
Part of your presentation on a personal basis before the board and before the public was the fact that this is what you're going to do with your office. I'm sitting here looking. Your words, your actions have met your budget. And there was some pushback in some corners, but this is one of the things, this is the story I get to take away and go back out to the public and say, in fact, what I heard gave me confidence at that time. In fact, what I see this year gives me the belief that I did the right thing.
Well, I really appreciate that, Marty. I appreciate that public display of support. Thank you.
Okay, so where I've got us is at 106 to 11 in operational cost. down 1,000 from where we started this conversation, and that is in operations down 4.66% from the current budget that we're in. And so that we're doing this, you know, I keep saying I'm trying to make sure that Loris and Marty at least understand, whether they agree with it or not, they at least understand how my mind works when I'm looking at these kind of things. When we dealt with the treasurer came before us requesting about, it was what, 5.6% or just over 5% increase in operations. And when she left here, she was down, is less than 1%, but down almost a percent. So that's how we've been working through this thing on the operations side of things, which is what I believe is more discretionary. Employee costs are employee costs, unless you're going to say, oh, we've got too many employees, we're getting rid of one, or we're paying them too much, or whatever. That's more of a fixed cost. These operational costs are a little more discretionary, and having that conversation and monitoring the growth, or in this case, reduction therein, is where we get the stuff done we need to get done. Anything else for us today? Yes.
Yeah. Jessica, did you want to talk about just those initial discussions that we've had and the visit that we had to the first quarantine and Fort Doug?
Yes, thank you, Deb, for bringing that up. Yeah, one of my interest areas is a potential drug court in Story County, and it would be a prison diversion drug court model, and I really appreciate that Deb and Carla Webb took time out of their day to go up and visit a drug court that is flourishing in Fort Dodge, Iowa. It is what they call a judge model, and it is run by District Court Judge Wilkie, and it's extremely impressive, and I'd love to talk to anyone about it if they have a chance. So I want to implement a similar court in Story County. The costs in Fort Dodge are $225,000, which is a lot of money. And so I'm looking at ways that I can get dollars through the Department of Justice for that. There's a grant that I'm going to be applying for that you'll see come through on your consent agenda. That's due January 26th, which is a tight deadline, but we're going to make it. That is to request those dollars to fund drug court in Story County. And then there's a second grant that's due at the end of February that's so the first grant I'm applying for is a restorative justice grant. The second grant I'm applying for is a specific drug court grant. And so my hope is that I'd be able to get 1 to 2 years funded through a federal agency and then be able to bring the statistics and numbers about what I believe will be a successful drug court to the board to talk about ongoing funding. And so that's my plan, and we'll see how that works. But you'll see that initial grant application come through your consent agenda, and that's what that's about. Thank you.
Good. Yeah. I wanted to ask the initiative that you've taken on related to the Skyride bus driver not being charged or only with the misdemeanor or whatever. Okay. Do you anticipate that we will have any cost with that, or is the Iowa Attorneys, your association equivalent, IZAC, are they helping support that?
So thanks for the question. Yeah, I am, one of my passions is passing Emily's Law, which would be an addition to the current hit and run statute in Iowa. And there's no cost affiliated to the county for that. That is a bill that that LSA is currently drafting at the direction of Lisa Heddens. And Ms. Heddens has worked very much hand-in-hand with me on that. I'm very appreciative for her support. The Iowa County Attorneys Association will be registering for that legislation. I will be doing everything in my power to move that legislation forward. So if I need to be at the State House for that, I'll be there. If there are things that I can do to help bring the community in. I think there's a lot of support for that, bipartisan support. Senator Whitver, who was elected president of the Senate, is supportive of that and is going to help us move that through. So, yes, I will be working hard on that. No, there won't be any cost to the county.
All right, thanks.
And can I go one step further and ask about medical examiner legislation? Are you looking a couple years ago to put some, you put something forward, or you didn't, but
We drafted it, and Ms. Hedden's, yeah, was nice to put that
for. One of the reasons I asked, I had a phone call yesterday from a gentleman, and I don't know who he was, Story County resident is all I know, wanting to know how autopsies are paid for. And he seemed astounded that the state doesn't pick up the tab of autopsies that the county has to. And I didn't go into detail because it's not worth it. It's a long, drawn-out story. But I did tell him that, you know, we don't have our number of autopsies are where they are. There's nothing we can do about it. But I know you and I have talked numerous times about trying to figure out ways for the state to pay for the non-residents, whether that be non-residents of the state or non-residents of the United States, because we've had some, I think there's still a couple that we haven't.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge, thank you for the question. It's a great question. So there's a huge hole in the statute currently in state law about there's no payment mechanism for payment of autopsies for non-residents, either of the state or the, you know, if you're a non-resident of the country. And so what's been happening is the county and the state have been fighting over those bills. So last year, our office put forward, through Ms. Hedden's again, we're very grateful for her, draft legislation to fix that problem so that the state would pay for, you know, people who come into our community either via the interstate or the college from other states or countries. And it went nowhere. It died fast. Iowa Department of Public Health showed up at the committee meeting, and they did not want to put any dollars to that. So we have requested that we try again. I'm not very optimistic on it because I was surprised at how quickly it died. And I know it's a funding issue, but don't get your hopes up, I guess, is what I would say.
You know, the age code used to say that a child's death under 2, they would reimburse. I send a bill in if there was a child under 2, and I bill it out to the state, IDPH, and I get phone calls and say, sorry, we didn't get money allocated, you don't get any money back. And I'm like, well, that's awesome, because the code says you're supposed to reimburse. Well, they've changed the code. IDPH got the code changed on that, so they don't have to reimburse for that either.
We will try again, but I'm less optimistic this year than I was last year. And it didn't work last year. Thank you.
Not fully cynic here, but you know, going in that way.
Anything else for us?
I don't see
anything.
Thank you, everyone. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate yours.